In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I am glad to be with you today. It is Veterans Day. Oh, thank you, God, that there were people, men and women, who found someone worth living for and someone worth dying for. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that we live in a country that used to be free, but is losing its freedoms more and more and more. And, oh, Lord, we are so asleep. I just ask you today, Lord, to listen to my prayer, that you would wake us up, wake us up, wake us up. For in him alone do we have life, in Jesus. I would like to take you down to a trip of memory lane. And I want you to know that you and I, we are the church. We have really no power other than prayer, because we live in a hierarchical church. But you and I are the church. The church at one time, the people of God really made a difference. At one time, that really was true. When they used to put up signs, you know, Irish and Catholics need not apply, that all changed. That all changed because people got it changed. Now, I'd like to take you down the trip of memory lane, because memory lane is something very important to see our past in light of our future. Many years ago, when I was a student in school, I think it was high school, they said that they weren't going to pray anymore in high school. And so the Bible was taken out of the schools and prayer was taken out of the schools. And what did we do? Nothing. We didn't do anything. No, we didn't do anything. There was no uproar. There was no dissent. We just let it happen. But that was just the first of many things that we allowed to happen. All right, that was the first of many things. And then history continued, and all of a sudden they decide that we are going to open the stores, grocery stores, as well as department stores, on a Sunday, which is the Lord's Day. We remember that on Sunday everything was closed, barred. Nothing could happen on a Sunday. As a matter of fact, it's really not good to work 7 days a week. It's always good to have one free day, but you know what? And so they opened the stores, and what did we do, you and I? The church, the hierarchy too, what did we do? Nothing. We just did nothing. Yeah, we did nothing. The whole bunch of us. We did nothing. Oh, well, they continued and continued, because now they began to have sporting events now. And you see, there are 7 days a week to have sporting events. And you know, Saturday is usually free for people and Sunday. But what they decided to do was to have all these sporting events on a Sunday. That's right. And so, because they had these sporting events on the Sunday, we broke up a family day and we broke up the church. You must read what John Paul II writes about Sunday and about it being a family day and about it being a day to pray and to have fun with each other. Yeah, but we don't listen to the Pope. No, the bishops do not listen to the Pope. And we don't either. We're the people. We don't listen to the Pope. He'll be coming here. Another Pope will be coming here and we'll all hear him, but nobody will listen to him because, you know, they'll all cheer for the Pope, but no one will listen to him. So now they have soccer games and all these things that are going to be on a Sunday. Isn't that wonderful? And what did we say about it? Oh, no, we didn't say anything. No, we don't say things like that. Oh, no, we don't want to. We just, you know, we can go and have dinner on a Saturday and a couple of drinks. You know, everything's fine. Life is wonderful. Long as it doesn't affect me, everything is just crackers. You know, it's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Well, let's continue, okay? We shall continue. About 30 years ago, Roe versus Wade and abortion became legal. Not safe, but legal. Their big chant was legal, safe, and few. Yeah. Do you know we've had 60 million surgical abortions? That is a very conservative figure. 60 million. Do you know about what that does for women? Like, do you know what that does for women? I know because I've held them in my arms as they cried in my arms. I know. And in reality, what did the church do? You and I. The hierarchy. We didn't do anything. Oh, yeah, we have pro-life offices, but you know what? You have to know that you've got to go after these people. They're not going to come to the church. They are so guilt-ridden. They are so guilt-ridden. Oh, yeah, we have Rachel's thing, and I've had two people come to me, maybe three. I'm going to tell you, my friends, they are so guilt-ridden. They're not going to come to the church. We need to go after them. We need to do things for them, like the Protestant church is doing, like John Enzer is doing, like Joanne McDuffie is doing. You're not having your office in Needham or wherever they have in Braintree, Boston. We need to be in the center of this kind of stuff. But we didn't say too much about it. The only church that could have stopped abortion was the Catholic Church, because we had ladies in the 70s with their rosary beads that if they all went out, they would have stopped abortion. But you know what? We didn't say anything about it. No, we really didn't. As a matter of fact, it's not even prayed about in most churches because the priest is saying, well, there might be somebody out here who had an abortion. That's right. There's not might exactly. It is exactly there are people out there that had an abortion. Nothing to do with might. So we didn't say anything, and then that terrible day came, that 1st of January or the 31st of December, when some crazy man went into Planned Parenthood and shot it out. Remember? I remember. I remember it very, very clearly. I think it was 1995. Yeah, went there to shot out Planned Parenthood. And what did the church do? No more will we have buses go in front of abortion mills. No more. We're not going to have it anymore because, we're not going to have it anymore. We need to play it prudently. We need to be prudent. And what did we do? We didn't do anything. Let me just tell you that during the last several months, over 25-30 children have been saved in front of Planned Parenthood because people are out there. Only a handful of people. But you see, what do we do? What do we do? Oh, we don't do anything. We just let it all happen. Let them kill the children. Let the women be destroyed. But we're pro-life. Oh, yeah, we're pro-life. We're very pro-life. Yeah, we're pro-life. Let's see if we're pro-life, okay? Okay, people talk about this whole experience of capital punishment, all right? Now, let me tell you, when's the last person someone died of capital punishment in Massachusetts? You couldn't find another person that died of capital punishment, okay? I don't want to kill anybody either, but we'll come out with capital punishment. But let's remember John Salvey that shot out Planned Parenthood. But when they killed him, they killed John Salvey. What did we do? What did the church do? Oh, nothing. Because, you see, if we get in the paper saying that John Salvey's life was worth something, they'd think bad of us because he was an evil man. But you know what? He might have been a crazy man, but you know what? When they killed John Salvey, his life was important, very important. But nobody said anything. Because you know what? We have no guts. We don't stand up for the right things, We really don't. We say we do, but we don't. I tell you, John Salvey's life was very important. And when he died, I remember saying, where is Bishop Law? Because this life is important. What he did was sick, evil, destructive. But if you are for or against capital punishment, they murdered John Salvey. And nothing was said. And then we go to Father Gagin. Now we know poor Father Gagin was very sick. And it was the church's fault that let it happen. It was the church's fault that let it happen. We know. I was a young priest, okay? Ordained not 6 months when somebody came to me about Father Gagin. And I knew enough that he should be taken out, and I called the bishop, and nothing happened. Now here I am, a young priest, stupid, wet behind the ears, but nothing happened. All right, let's continue. So they kill Gagin, Father Gagin. Yeah, he died. And you know what? He was a priest forever. You see, Father Gagin died. What he did was despicable, evil, demonic. I know that to be true. But they killed him. And there was no outrage from the church. Because when one life means nothing, every life means nothing. You see, we are the sleeping giant, and we sing, you and I too, beautiful dreamer, la 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 la. Let us continue in this saga of Manganabarola, not a word, from you or me or the church or the hierarchy. Let us continue, because you know what? It's continuing. When the embryonic stem cell research was in its inception, I remember going to the meeting with Father Matthew was there, but there wasn't a bishop that was represented. No, there wasn't a bishop that was represented. And I preached and I talked. You know, they all thought I was nuts. I said, you know, we're going to do violence to these individuals, but you know what? What you sow is what you reap. We will reap violence in the cities. People will shoot each other more and more because what we sow is what we reap. Oh, yeah, we might have sent postcards, but you know what they do with our postcards? They put them in the bucket. The only thing to go is, led by the bishop in front of the offices of these people. But, you know, we don't do things like that because we don't want to get... We want to be prudent. They're taking away all of our rights. And prudence is not the issue today. Charity is. Okay, let's continue. So now we use the little embryos for people that are living, just like Hitler. And there's no outrage. Now they've come up with this chemical abortion that you can have the day after pill or whatever it is. And Connecticut and the Connecticut bishops are saying it's okay. Even without a test for ovulation. Which means if they kill or if they wash out a fertilized egg, that's an individual. You see, it stops the fertilized egg from implanting on the uterine wall. But you know, we don't say anything. We say we have to keep our hospitals open. Yeah, we have to keep our hospitals open. At what price? At what price? Like how far and how much do we compromise? Then there came gay marriage, and we did go out to the common for that, but you know what? The horse was out of the barn at that time because we were so guilty because of the priest scandal. That we couldn't do much. We were just frozen in place. But, you know, now we have gay marriage, and isn't that wonderful? There will be a day that they will force us to unite gays, or we will have to close. Yeah? There's a separation of church and state, but, you know, only when the government wants there to be. Now, in front of the abortion mill, you know, it's a 36-foot limit. You can't get near it, 36 feet, which means that our First Right Amendment is being taken away. And what are you doing about it? What am I doing about it? Nothing. We just let it happen, you know. You can go out today. It's a holiday. You can go have a drink, you know. You can have a pizza. You can go watch the football game. Isn't that wonderful? But, you know, not many people do anything. Oh, no, we just let these things happen, and they are stealing from us every right. Last week, we heard that six evangelists are being audited by the IRS. People saying that's really good because they use their money. But I'm going to tell you something, my friends. The next one to be audited will be the Holy Catholic Church, because you know what? We have all these buildings, and they're looking for taxes. They don't want us to have these buildings without taxes. Oh, my. We have no idea what's going to coming down the road. What's coming down the road. We have no idea. You don't need to be a prophet to know these things either. You don't need to be a prophet to know these things. And, you know, I'm going to tell you, I have no power, but I'm going to tell you the bishops do have power. I have no power as a priest other than the people who listen to me. But the bishops do have power. I'm talking about the American bishops. They have power. They have a diocese behind them. But they do nothing in these areas. Wait till they take away our tax-free number. And you know what? That's what the government wants to do. Then we will see the folding of church after church after church. You want to know why? Because we do nothing. And when good people do nothing, evil triumphs. I could go on with euthanasia, where they don't feed people. I could go on. You see, the church was always the herald of the poor. No more, because our church, people as well as hierarchy, we are all asleep. And one day, it will be illegal for me to say things like this. I tell you that the government is not for the people or by the people. The government is taking away our constitutional rights. And one day this great nation will be completely unfree. One right after another. And people get angry with me because they say I talk against the bishops. You see, bishops have power. And if they can't do something and won't do something, let them resign. Let them resign. That's humility. If they don't do something because they can do something, let them resign. When you cannot do a job, it is humility to say, I cannot do a job. That's humility. I can feel bad about it. I can lose sleep about it. But you know what? The bishops have power. I have no power other than what I say and have you pray and do something. Like go out to the abortion mills. Like go, at least I can ask you to go out to the abortion mills to pray. I can do that. Go out to the rosary vigils. I can do that because it stops the killing of children. I can say write letters, but you know the letters in Massachusetts don't mean anything anymore. They just throw them away. What you need is you need a whole group of people going up in front of people's homes, like I did with Travellini. And I was stopped, and you know what? That's fine. Blood's not on my hand. I did what I needed to do. I needed to do that. Now Mr. Travellini's got $1 million job. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, yeah. I told you people 100 years ago it was all about money with Mr. Travellini. I hold nothing against the man. I pray for him when I go by his house. You know, he's a poor man. He's a Catholic that doesn't know Jesus Christ, just like so many of them. Doesn't know Jesus. Doesn't know Jesus, I tell you. I'm not hateful. I'm angry. I'm sad. Because veterans gave their life to keep this country free. And you know what we're doing? We're tossing it in their faces. Their death means nothing to us, as long as we can go to have a nice meal and a couple of drinks. I'm going to read what Jesus said, okay? This isn't what I say, this is what Jesus said. Behold, I am sending you like sheep in the midst of wolves. So be shrewd, wise as serpents, and simple as doves. But beware of people, for they will hand you over to the courts. It's coming. They will scourge you in their synagogues. You will be led before governors and kings for my sake as a witness before them and the pagans. And when they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say. You will be given at that moment what you are to say, for it will be given to you by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Yes, brother will hand over brother and to death, and father their child to death. Children will rise up against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated because of my name. But whoever endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to another. Amen, amen, I say to you, you will not finish the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. No disciple is above his teacher, no slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he becomes like his teacher, for the slave that becomes like his master. And if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call his household? Can I say a couple of things just to conclude? Ezekiel 33 talks about the watchman. I want to tell you, I am sick of being the watchman. After I spoke yesterday at three masses, I went home and I was as sick as a dog. I couldn't take my head off the pillow. I was so sick. Like when you say things like this, you think that it just comes out of my mouth? Like, I want to tell you, when I say things like this, it comes out of my innermost being. I'm just coming to realize that, you know, I just did a funeral of a friend just now. And you know, I'm going to tell you that when you're burying somebody that you care about, it takes everything out of you. It's not just this, you know, charade that I'm playing. This is my friend who died. Last week it was my aunt, and it brought back all the words of my parents. I was sick for 2 days after my aunt's funeral. I just need to say, you know, I hate speaking like this because it takes everything out of me. But they will take away every one of our rights because you and I and the hierarchy are silent. Oh, the minister in Germany many years ago, you know. When they started to build the death camps, they said, well, you know, who will die in the death camps? And then they started to smell flesh, and they said, well, you know, they're not Christians, they're Jews. They're not after us. And then they could hear the train going by their church and the people howling and crying, and the minister, it could be the priest, said, sing louder. And then gypsies and those people that were considered to be less than anything, they were taken and killed. Religious men and women, priests, who stood up. 6 million Polish people died in the death camps. And the minister said, well, you know, they're Catholics. Until one day they came for him. And it was too late. They came for him and his congregation. And it was too late. Can I give you a law? You know, what goes up must come down. That's a law. This is also a law. When one person's life is considered to account for nothing, every life means nothing. If you say the child in the womb means nothing, then the quantum leap is that the old person means nothing. You know what? That's true in hospitals now. Many hospitals, they will not help the old people. You know, they're going to die anyway. I have a friend that is not old, that thanks be to God, because of God's power, spared him from all the nutty things that happened in the hospital. The hospital screwed up everything. I'd sue that hospital. And you want to know what they didn't do? They never put some protective area in his chest after they operated on him. You want to know why? Because they probably thought he was going to die. They told his wife, he's going to be dead. So they closed him up without a protective coating or some kind of fabric that would stop. In other words, for his rib cage. Now he has no rib cage. You know what I'm saying? Because they thought he was going to die. And he's not worth anything. Yep. I just say this, you better get on your knees, because they're going to come after us one day. They will come out. They will not tolerate preaching like this. They took away our prayer in school. They took away this. They took away that. They took away our Sabbath. They took away everything. And what do we do? We don't do anything. And so, do nothing. Do nothing. Because ultimately, the Son of Man is coming. And if he does not find faith in you, you'll go to hell. If it means to choose the government of the Lord Jesus Christ, you better make a choice that it's going to be Jesus, because you know what? You'll go to hell. Me too. That's why we've got to bond together. We are living in the last days. The last days when they will call right wrong and wrong right. And the church, you and I, and hierarchy would do so little about it. Wake us up, I pray, in Jesus' name. Happy Veterans Day. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.
In Season and Out of Season is sponsored by In Season and Out of Season.